Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Welcome to the 5 Yard IDP pod with me, Nate Davis. Evening, Brent. How's the weekend been? Week been? And your fantasy week 4 been?
Well, the weekend was good fun because we had a night out Saturday with some of the boys that we hadn't seen for a while. So I've just about got over that. I don't know about you.
No, but, still struggling. Still lost the wallet.
Yeah, we won't be. We won't be doing any of Liam's cocktails tonight. We had more than a couple on Saturday night, I think. So. Yeah, it was a good laugh though. Fantasy wise, okay. Had a win in our Ray Lewis league, so I've gone 2-2 this week in that. Got a shout out in our Lawrence Taylor league, so I'm down to drop to 1-3 in that. Although Voice Aider Lucon had another monster week for me, racking up 25 points. So he's one everyone wants to be looking at, but I think you'll struggle to find him on the waivers now. And not IDP relevant, but did you look at our score in the Heismania League?
Yeah, it was tight, wasn't it? I know it was stupidly tight. Did I win?
What do you have? 86.66 beat my 85.68.
You got to watch the adjustments, mine on Sleeper. That goes for everybody. Be careful with the adjustments.
Yeah, if it stays like that, that's a bit sickening. I'd rather be blown out and lose.
Well, I've had a right mixed bag this week. Real weird. So yeah, I didn't do well. I lost in our home league. I lost in the Lawrence Taylor league. I won in the Ray Lewis league. Right old mixed bag. Not particularly good. All right, just a bit fed up.
Bit like week 4 generally. I mean, that was
random, wasn't it?
A lot of our predictions went straight out the window.
We had an awful time.
Oh dear, I think we should stop predicting things. But mind you, I don't think anyone would have seen week 4 going. Some of those results were just
players. We've done well. It's just prediction and the scores. But anyway, right, before we go much further, I need to mention our sponsors. So our sponsors are Manscaped. They are the best in men's below the waist grooming, and they offer precision engineered tools for your family jewels. They have now released the Lawnmower 4.0, which you can see on your screen, which is a fantastic bit of kit. The great thing about this is the skin safe technology. So you get no nicks on your bits. You can get 20% off at manscaped.com or manscaped.co.uk with the code 5 yard. That's the code 5 yard. We'll put that across the bottom of the screen shortly. And if you haven't invested in one of these, you really must. It's a game changer in that area. It comes also with free worldwide shipping. So there we go. Right. So on to week 5. Week 5 already. Where's it going? It's absolutely flying at the moment.
It's flying by. Soon be Thanksgiving. So, before we go any further, I just want to touch on something. One of our good friends who we happen to be out with on Saturday night, who decided to dive into our video stream of the podcast, was kind enough to sort of comment on the fact that whilst Nath was recording from what appeared to be a sort of nicely brightly lit studio or office setting, I seem to be sort of holed up in something resembling a 1970s drug den. So in my defence, it's, and Nath will vouch for this, it's probably the only room, bar the kitchen, that we haven't actually sort of decorated yet. So it is a bit, the lighting isn't the best. So you'll see, I have actually moved to one of the nicer rooms in the house. So hopefully Brilliant. That'll keep Paul quiet for a couple of weeks at least before he finds something else to moan about.
I doubt it.
But there you go, Paul. I hope you're happy. So yeah. Anyway, right, so that's enough about him.
Before we dive into the week five games, like I did last week, I want to do a kind of top tip, a tip for the week, put it that way. So my tip for this week is about your roster setup and trying to secure a decent floor on your scoring. I've looked at various different people's lineups and that are in various leagues that we're in, and there's so many that are a little bit, for my liking, look, it might work for you the odd week, but they're a bit too boom or bust. That's what I would call them. So just when you look at constructing a lineup or putting your team together, what I try to do, again, this might not be for everybody, but this is the way I try to do it. I try to get a decent floor in, and it will seem quite basic for a lot of you, but it may help in giving you the best chance of winning. I look at tackles like most people do for setting a floor. As you can work on these, look at these and find out who is a consistent tackler quite easily by just looking on ESPN or wherever you get your stats from, even on Sleeper. It will tell you who's consistently tackling well week in, week out. So let's say, for example, you have your roster sizes, 2 DLs, 2 linebackers, 2 DBs and 2 flex spots, right? I'd be looking at probably at least 4 of them to have a decent floor. So these are players that have a decent tackle floor, right? So they cement you week in, week out. That's what you're looking at. So consistent tackles, I would be looking at both linebackers and potentially both DBs out of those starting spots that would have decent tackle floors week in, week out. So you could lock those players in that have got those. And then I'd be looking at the big plays. So sacks, interceptions for the DLs and both flex plays for me. That's how I try and construct it. So I can have a bit more of a gamble at DL and flex. That's me. Some people might swap that from DL to DB, but I find it easier to get more of a safe floor tackling on DB, especially corners. If you use IDP plus scoring, you know, those consistent tackles are pretty much there to pick up quite, you can find out who those players are quite consistently, quite easily. So yeah, and then I would use, like I said, I use those flex play positions or DL, especially this year with a sack count like it is. I like to use the DLs as, you know, have a gamble, who's got a good matchup. And we'll go into that as we say. So, you know, you're going to be looking at the moment, players that are playing against rookie quarterbacks is pretty much that simple at this moment in time, because that's where the sacks are. Or Ryan Tannehill, but I'll get to Ryan Tannehill in a minute. Right, let's go and kick these week's games off. Let's get on with it then. And Brent, you're kicking us off, aren't you, with Thursday night football tonight, which is the Rams at Seahawks.
Yeah, another big divisional matchup in the West, definitely. So looking at the Rams as a away team initially, I mean, yeah, big loss to the Cardinals on Sunday. So, and the Cards' game plan, to be fair, was they had it spot on. I think they shut down. I think what was happening with Stafford, as a lot of the pundits have said, he just seemed to be looking for Cooper Kupp all afternoon and or all evening, and they cottoned onto that straight away. So they shut Cooper Kupp down. They also forced a Stafford pick and a Sony Michel fumble. So I don't think there's any need to panic from the Rams' point of view. You know, they're still 3-1, but the defense is going to have to be better against another divisional rival, because this division, you know, it's still very much in the mix. Aaron Donald was non-existent. You know, just the 4 assisted tackles. Just had one of those games where you just couldn't influence things, I think. The top performers from week 4, Leonard Floyd, another one of those linebackers, you know, touching on what you were talking about, you know, setting your floor. Another linebacker, you can play at DL, had 17.5 points. He's been consistent in the last 3 weeks. He's a solid pick for me. Sebastian Joseph Day, in the D-line, you know, had a decent day of it, 21.5 points, including a sack. My only concern with him is he seems to flip-flop. At the moment, he's having good week, very quiet week. So he's one of those that, you know, he is on the waivers, but I think I just want to see a little bit more consistency from him. Secondary, Taylor Rapp and Jordan Fuller did okay. Lots of tackles, but again, ultimately, as far as the Rams D went, this was one of those weeks where there were lots of tackles, but no sort of big plays to really sort of affect the game. Seahawks, it's another one we got wrong. One at the Niners, a bit closer this one, 28-21. Big divisional road win. As we said last week, Seahawks needed this win, probably a lot more than maybe the Niners did. It's kept, as I say, kept the West interesting. They had quite a bit of help from the Niners, to be fair. Special teams, I mean, it was just a litany of issues from the Niners. The Gould injury, missed kicks, muffed punt. But as I say, they needed the win to stay in the hunt, so they're not going to complain. Jordan Brooks, linebacker, racked up 22 points, including a sack and a tackle for the loss. Quandre Diggs had a good game as well, not far behind him, 21.5 points, including the pick. Again, someone I found on waiver wire. He's looking useful in that Seattle DB. Secondary. Bobby Wagner, solid, you know, another 15.5 points. Jamal Adams is one I've been looking at. I've been going back a little bit now. We're approaching week five, going back over some of the numbers for the first sort of 3 or 4 weeks. He had a decent week three against the Vikings, but apart from that, he's flat to deceive a bit. He's been a bit disappointing for me. I want to see a bit more from him. This game, I don't know. I think both secondaries are in play. Based on the two QBs, just the way they played, you know, as much in the week four performances. I think the Rams defense will be better, but I don't think, for me against the Seahawks, not enough to gamble on anyone outside the usual suspects. I actually fancy Seattle, to be honest. You know, Brooks and Wagner at linebacker are looking good. Look at Quandre Diggs if he's available. As I say, I have found him on waivers. Yeah, Seattle, I think, will just watch that week four game tape and may try and replicate what the Cards did. You know, obviously the Rams are still missing Akers. Henderson's been good, but he's still coming back from a minor injury. And if they can shut Cooper Kupp down and force Stafford out of his comfort zone to look at, you know, other route runners, then I think, I wouldn't be surprised if Seattle carry on. They'll be flying a bit after that. Okay, they had some help from the Niners, but, you know, a divisional win's a divisional win, and I think they'll be looking to go again. I wouldn't be surprised if it went the other way, but I think based on the week four performances, this Seattle defense, which has been a little bit hit and miss the first couple of weeks, I think it's starting to come together a bit now. Yep. Any thoughts?
Well, I've picked the Rams to win it, but it's back straight away. I think, like you touched on, it was quite obvious that he was trying to get to Cooper Kupp. Now, they'll change that. Or they'll find a way or whatever. That's how I see it. I don't see the Seahawks secondary being particularly good. Mind you, I don't particularly rate the Arizona secondary, and they've done a job. So it's a tough one. But yeah, I'm saying Rams bounce back, probably just mainly to go the other side of the fence. But right, on to the Sunday early game, which is the Jets at Falcons in London. And I'm going.
Getting live commentary from you on Sunday, aren't we?
Jesus, I don't know what state that would be. God,
get progressively worse.
God help us. I'm really looking forward to it because I'm off to London to watch it with my mate Andy, who's a big Falcons fan. Anybody that is going, we will no doubt be in the Admiralty in Trafalgar Square on Saturday night. So, point us for a beer. I'll probably be wearing this top. So anyway, as for the game itself. Let's have a look. I didn't expect both of these teams to do as well as they did in week four. It's a fantastic win for the Jets, and it was largely down to their defensive performance. Quincy Williams, the lesser known Williams brother, had an absolute monster day against the Titans. He had 12 tackles, 2 tackles for a loss, and a sack, and a pass defended. He's had 23 tackles over the last 3 games. Is somebody to seriously keep an eye on. He's definitely slipped under my radar, but obviously he's now, that was a big week, and I think everybody's going to be quite well aware of him. The Jets D was excellent as a unit. My man, CJ Mosley, he's coming good. I knew it. He's coming.
It's that man again.
Yeah, he posted up his best numbers of the season, racked up 13 tackles, a sack, and a tackle for a loss. The other brother, interior lineman, Quinnen Williams, he was he was an issue for the Titans all day. It was a right old mess. He got two sacks, and along with John Franklin Myers, they kept getting to Tannehill. Will this happen against the Falcons? I don't think in that kind of level it will, but I think there's still a chance for a sack or two there, definitely. So the Jets pass rush for me is in play, and along with the secondary, Bryce Hall is starting to look the real deal. I'm really starting to rate this kid. He was excellent against the Titans, and he's on my list for one of the picks of the week, and somebody who's likely to be on the wire. The names who scored well: Bryce Huff, Javalin Guidry. Who else was there? I mean, yeah, pretty much all the Jets D had a blinder. So just remember though, if you are going to pick up Jets players, they have got a bye week in week six, so keep one eye on that. The Falcons, like the Jets, they had a real cracking, it was a cracking contest against Washington in week four, and they narrowly lost, mainly due to that blown coverage that allowed JD McKissick to score towards the end. Defensively though, it's a mixed performance by the Falcons. They had quite a few opportunities to turn the ball over, and they didn't take them. I feel they've got a real gap in the secondary, and they are desperate for a decent safety or two ideally. Points wise, defensively, you mentioned him earlier. Foyseed Alukun was fantastic. 12 tackles, sack. Also, Deion Jones also kept up his tackle consistency. And up front, Dante Fowler, he brought some pressure on Taylor Heinicke. However, it wasn't enough. Yeah, Zach Wilson looked good. So, yeah, I feel it might kick on. I really do. I think it was a good day for the Jets and a good day for Zach Wilson. I think it's going to be a cracking game. I know the problem is with London games, it can all just, yeah, sometimes they haven't fulfilled expectation, have they? But I'm going Jets. What about you? What are you, Brian? What do you reckon?
I'm inclined to agree. I think a lot of it hinges on Wilson. If he can keep his head, he's starting to show. He's growing into it a bit. There's still some errors. I think you're right. I think we've touched on the Falcons numerous times, and you know, fairly early in the season. And you look outside of maybe one or two in that D line, and that linebacker core is solid. We like it. But it's when you get further back and you think if Wilson can keep it together and find the holes in that secondary, then I fancy him to do some damage. I mean, you've got some somewhat forgotten players for the Jets, like, you know, Crowder had a good game, and, you know, Wilson seemed to find him fairly consistently. I think it's important
Crowder coming back as well. I think the guys that do the offense will mention that, because it just takes the pressure off Corey Davis a little bit from being the only man there.
Mind you, having said that, I mean, Cordell Patterson had a game of it. So, it's, I mean, we were on and off the phone sort of watching it on Sunday going, again? You know, it's just the former punt return or kick return.
Former punt returner, who's now listed as their top running back, is also now their red zone wide receiver target. I mean,
desperate times call for desperate measures sometimes. Sometimes they pan out. Like we've said before, sometimes an injury.
Start him at quarterback. Let's have a go.
Sure, Ryan would be thrilled about that. I'd side with the Jets just, I think. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Moving on to the early afternoon games. Patriots at the Texans. All the hype's over. Brady's gone back to Foxborough. And, the Patriots, narrow loss. A bit unlucky, you could argue. Awful conditions. Close loss after all the hype. But crucially for me, I think Belichick's defense did a good job generally stifling sort of the Bucks offense. Wet conditions played into their hands a little bit. I think it didn't make for a vintage performance from either side, really. Top performers coming out of that game, we seem to mention him every week, Matt Judon. You've got to play him. Another 24 points, another big week. As I say, he's a must start, especially against a poor Texan side. Elsewhere, secondary had a good game against the Bucks. Nothing, really off the charts, but Kyle Duggar, JC Jackson, Jonathan Jones, you know, all had decent games. And all three I found on sort of various waiver wires. And I think, you know, against this, you know, rookie quarterback, again, the rookie quarterback scenario comes into play. You know, if you're short on the secondary going into week five and you can find them on the waivers, I'd stay, yeah, I'd probably say that, yeah, Kyle Duggar for me would be the pick of the three. He's been sort of scoring more consistently. So, yeah, especially against his Texans side, I think there'll be some mistakes there. Texans week four, absolutely blown out of the water by the Bills. And they haven't been the only team that's suffered that this season and probably won't be the last. They started off okay, to be fair. We had Lonnie Johnson sort of in the secondary, picked off Allen, first pass. He had a good game, racked up 19.5 points. But then, you know, they turn the ball over and the offense goes three and out and sort of gives it straight back to the Bills. And, you know, you can't encourage Josh Allen and this offense to, you know, to come back at you that quickly. But, you know, I suppose based on week four, I can make a case for some of the Texans against the 1-3 Patriots team. They're not, you know, they're not the highest scoring team in the world. And, you know, it's, you know, with Davis Mills turning the ball over, it's one of those games where you think, well, that Texans defense, he's going to be on the field a lot because this Texans offense is really struggling to put stuff together. Linebacker Christian Kirksey, he's been pretty solid all season. Gruger Hill picked up a decent 13 points in, you know, what was a tough game. He's on the waiver wire. Desmond King at DB racked up 20 points. I think the Pats win the game for me. And I think one of the, against this Texans side, who's really struggling, the offense is poor. They just cannot put anything together on that. I think I'd definitely be looking at Matt Judon's a nailed on pick, especially in a game like this. He's going to go again, and wouldn't surprise me if he has another 20 plus week. That's got to be my banker of the week, primarily because he's playing the Texans. But yeah, if you look at some of those players in the secondary as well, like we said, Mills, rookie quarterback, he'll throw a couple of picks, I reckon. Definitely.
I like the Judon Duggar stack. If you can stack them both, I think you could be that could be an absolute winning performance if it goes off. It's one of those.
Yeah, I think if you're gonna gamble on it, then you do it week five against Houston.
Have a go.
Yeah.
Right. So what am I on to? Oh no. Not the Vikings. Lions, Vikings. Lions, Vikings.
One score game.
I might. You can do the Vikings next week. I've had enough of it. So
that's fine. You take the Dolphins.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hang on.
That's a shit sandwich on both sides.
I know. Lions at Vikings. So not a great week for either of these teams. However, for the Vikings, this is a decent matchup and a game where we expect them to bounce back. I thought Jared Goff looked poor against the Bears, really poor. And he looked often rattled by their pass rush. And obviously with the Vikings having Danielle Hunter and Everson Griffin, they have a real decent pass rush and they could put Goff in some serious trouble in this one. I highlighted Everson Griffin last week, and if you picked him up, he scored well in week four. Hunter and Griffin both got a sack. Kendrick scored okay. I expect him to have an uptick against the Lions because the Lions will try. They'll have to try and run the ball through the middle majority of the time. Other linebacker of interest at the moment for the Vikings has been Nick Vigil. Now, he didn't score well and he was outscored by Blake Lynch. So it might be time to bench Nick Vigil. Anthony Barr is due back soon. So the only linebacker that I would start actually in this whole matchup would be Kendricks. So from the Lions, DB Amari Onowari, he top scored as he picked off Justin Fields. Charles Harris got a sack at DL. Derek Barr and an attack for a loss. I wouldn't go anywhere near Detroit still at this moment in time. It's just not enough consistency around the players and the scoring. The news that DL Romeo Okwara is injured. I think he's out. I think he's out for the season. I'm not confirmed yet at this time, but I think he's out. So it just adds to their woes. I see this as a bounce back win. And I think that Danielle Hunter, Everson Griffin can be started. For me, they're the two picks, and the obvious one, Eric Kendricks. But yeah, that's about the lot from this matchup.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was, we were both quite heavy on the Vikings winning that game at the weekend, and it was just a shutout after the first score. It was couldn't seem to get any traction. I think Cleveland did a good number. A bounce back win for me though. I think this Lions team, I said it, I think last pod or the one before, they're just bang average for me. Across the board.
There's not a lot of consistency throughout.
No. And you know, the mutual friend of ours on the chat on Sunday watching the games was, you know, commenting on, you know, making some derisory remarks about Goff, and I think he's found his level. You know, I always felt he was a fairly average quarterback, and he's bedded in nicely at a fairly mediocre team. So yeah, Vikings win for me. Where are we going next? Off to Carolina. So we've got the Eagles coming to the Panthers. The Eagles game was quite good fun, actually. It was entertaining. 42-30, wasn't low scoring. 42-30 loss at home to the Chiefs. Philly were competitive for a large part of the game. But ultimately, you can't play the Chiefs and blow three touchdowns with penalties. I mean, it's just, you know, you couldn't do that against most teams, certainly not against Mahomes. Top performers for me, there's only really a couple of players based on, you know, Philly at the moment that sort of jump out at me, especially based on the week four performances. Eric Wilson, the linebacker, had a good game, a very good game against Chiefs, 23 points, 10 tackles and a pick. The real highlight for me this season has been Javon Hargrave in the defensive line. 17.5 points, including a sack. You know, and he's been pretty solid. But you know, this was against a CMC free Panthers who let Sam Darnold run around like an excitable puppy.
Russian leader, mate. The Russian touchdown leader.
He seems to like playing in Dallas though. But anyway, that's not going to happen every week, and I don't think it's going to happen against this young Panthers defense. The Eagles defense. So I think Hargrave and the Philly front seven might sort of fancy this one, because CMC's a big miss. He was always going to be a problem. And if you're looking for someone on the waiver pickups, I don't think really Philly are not the team. It's a bit like Detroit. You've got one or two, like I've touched on, probably outside of Wilson and Hargrave, especially going up against the Panthers at home. I'm not going to be sort of gambling on anyone outside of, you know, those two, really. Panthers, again, this is another one I got wrong, because I fancy them to win at the Cowboys, but nope, they got beaten 36-28. This young defense took a little bit of a kicking for the first time this season. The Cowboys put up 433 yards on them. Zeke, you know, counted for 143 of those. Tony Pollard was a great foil as well. Between the two of them, they really hammered that that front line. They couldn't deal with them. All the usual suspects were quiet for me. Brian Burns, Hassan Reddick, Shaq Thompson, Jeremy Chin, all had quite week four performances. Although the one highlight for me out of those four was Shaq Thompson. I don't know if you saw him. He absolutely drilled Tony Pollard earlier in the first quarter on a run play.
And there was one tackle from Chin as well, which was horrendous.
So it's but not one of the Panthers IDP players hit double figures this week. And I think that says, you know, that's as much a credit to maybe Dallas as anything else. This week, you know, they're going up against the Philly offense that, you know, they threw together some nice plays against the Chiefs. They threw them the Chiefs defense out of step a few times. So it's a tough call because, as I said, you know, in terms of who's going to win the game, the Panthers can't rely on Darnold sort of running. But if, you know, DJ Moore has another big game and maybe he needs to sort of air it out a bit more, get Robbie Anderson and one or two others involved. I think this young Panthers team will bounce back at home against Philly. Philly have been better than I expected this season. I would still say if you've got your Brian Burns, your Reddicks, your Thompsons, your Chins, I think, you know, they'll be looking for a bounce back home win. I think this defense will be better. And I still think consistently over the season, you can rely on those four. But as I said, no one on that defense got into double figures. So in terms of looking at pickups at the moment, no, I think we're going to have to wait and see how this young team respond to, you know, a bit of a setback, first time this season. One thing that has surprised me, I meant to get your thoughts on it, but I just can't understand how the Eagles look and are using or not using Miles Sanders at the moment. It's a weird one. You've got this talented running back and they're just, you know, he's involved in the odd check down play. And every time he picks at the ball, it's a sweep and he ends up going sideways, out of bounds, losing yards. And you're like,
I don't get it.
No.
I don't get it. I don't think there's anything. I mean, obviously, Kenny Gainwell seems to be doing, he's definitely benefiting from this. But it doesn't, there's parts of the game where you'd expect them to use a Miles Sanders or a running back that can not run the game into the ground, but at least take some of the pressure off Jalen Hurts.
Different. You've got a couple of teams that are starting to demonstrate this sort of dual threat running back. Dallas are a case in point. Cleveland are another one. Kareem Hunt backing up Chubb. You know, show them something different. But if they're going to be that one dimensional against this Panthers defense, I think they'll struggle. So,
I mean, do you think though, offensively, would you start Sanders next week, knowing what Dallas did to the Panthers? Mind you, I would say that's mainly due to the O line. The Dallas O line is looking particularly good. They're creating lanes. Animal. They're creating some serious lanes.
Holes all day.
Instead of Pollard.
Yeah.
You just look at it and go, they're impressive, Dallas, at the moment.
Yeah.
But anyway, this game, so who are you saying? You're saying Panthers?
Panthers for me at home, yeah.
And me. Yeah, I'm saying Panthers. I think they'll bounce back, and it's just not... The Eagles, even though they're playing quite well, I just feel they're not quite in control of their destiny, if you know what I mean. I just feel that they can't, you know, they're going to show signs of looking really good, and then...
And then they implode, giving away stupid penalties.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be one of those seasons for them. Fun to watch.
Talking about teams that can implode and not particularly doing what they should do, let's go to the Saints. Saints at Washington. We'll go there. So the Saints, they're going to be reeling from their loss against the Giants in week four. I expect them to be really fired up. Ever, do they have enough firepower to get past the Washington D, which everybody keeps saying how good it is. We're still waiting to really see this Washington D. I'm still waiting. It didn't really show up again in week four. Any team that gets destroyed by Cordell Patterson in the red zone as a target, I'm amazed. I'm amazed. And it happened three times. It was just, you know, I just look at it and... I don't know. I rate their secondary, but I'm not quite sure what's going on there. Yeah, so that's a massive worry. But points-wise for Washington in week four, Cole Holcomb continues to be the linebacker to have. He got 9 tackles, tackle for a loss, and a forced fumble. There's news that's broken about John Bostic. He could be out for a while with a pectoral injury, so we need to keep an eye on that. If Bostic's out, it could also... Obviously, it's still going to play into Cole Holcomb's hands, but it could be an uptick for Jamin Davis. We'll have to wait to see on that one though. But if you have got Bostic, I think it's not looking particularly good for him. Other positions, Jonathan Allen at DL continues to score consistently, put up 14.5 points in IDB Plus in week four. Montez Sweat got a sack. Chase Young also, he put up half decent numbers as well compared to other weeks. In the secondary, DB Bobby McCain was impressive. Three pass defenders and 5 solo tackles. Kendall Fuller and Landon Collins also caught. They're scoring quite solidly. Flipping it over to the Saints. The Saints secondary scored well against the Giants. Against Daniel Jones, as expected. With DB Marcus Williams and veteran Malcolm Jenkins scoring over 20 points. One to keep an eye on, rookie linebacker Pete Werner, whatever you want to say. He's announced himself to the NFL with 10 tackles and 1 tackle for a loss in week four. And he's somebody I'd look to stash or monitor. Everyone's looking at this linebacker core at the Saints, or you should be keeping an eye on it, because somebody's going to come in to replace fully DeMario Davis. And obviously you've got Zach Bourne, you've got Pete Werner. If it goes to whoever it goes to, is going to, they could be heading up high tackle counts for years to come. So they could be the player to pick up. And at the moment, it looks like Werner looks like the guy. After last week, anyway, I thought he played particularly quite well. Anyway, as going for this actual game, I see it going to Washington. Because the Saints, I mean, they look confused. Offensively, I don't know what's going on. Kamara doesn't look happy. The quarterback situation is bizarre. Again, they swapped it out at a point of the game, which was strange. And yeah, Taysom Hill dragged 9 players over the line to score a touchdown. But it was just like, from a boom or bust kind of person who, bloody hell, what's his name? Completely gone out of my head. What's his name? The QB?
Jameis Winston.
Jameis, yeah. Boom or bust like he is. I mean, to take him off the field at the point where you actually need something to act. Oh, I don't know. Anyway, I'm saying, I'm not going to moan and rant about the Saints anymore. I think they've completely lost their marbles at this moment in time. And the last thing they need to do is play Washington, who, okay, not firing on all cylinders, but that's kind of worrying because they're winning. So I still think that Washington, with Heinicke, he's playing particularly quite well, quite structured. Yeah, I think Washington are a decent outfit, and I expect them to beat New Orleans this week. What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, completely agree. I think we're starting to see signs. I mean, we said it, I said last week that I've been disappointed by this Washington defense. I tipped Chase Young to have a step up and have a good game.
He did.
He wasn't. He was good. Nothing out. You know, he didn't sort of blow the doors off or anything. But I think you're starting to see them step up and do what we hope they would do. I completely agree about the. I don't know what the Saints are doing. They're such an infuriating team to watch and try and predict. And I think, yeah, you know, Taysom Hill, as you say, dragging up team players, that probably says more about the Giants' defensive capabilities at this moment in time than anything else. But yeah, I'd say again, you know, Washington coming off the back of a win that, you know, on another day they don't get it, but you know, hey, a win's a win. It'll boost their confidence and. Yeah, I'd say Washington at home. Right, got to move on to the Dolphins at the Bucks. Jesus wept. Do you want to say, I did some notes earlier for the Dolphins game, just summing up. That was pretty much what I wrote down for my week 4 summary against the Colts.
Yeah, one good.
All right, I've got some proper notes. But, I mean, that's not a million miles away from what I thought on Sunday. Awful home performance, really, when you break it down, especially from the offense, who just couldn't keep the ball or get anything going. And by the time they did, it was too late. The one plus from an IDP perspective is the defense was on the field a lot, although they didn't really do much.
Run defense tonight.
I'll get to that in a minute. Any positives? Christian Wilkins, how I said... I've been saying for some time that I was excited when we sort of drafted him a couple of years ago. He's starting to look like he's a bit later than I would have liked, but growing into the player that we hoped. And he racked up 18 points off the back of a good week 3 performance as well. 2 tackles, including a couple for a loss. Van Ginkel and Ogba racked up 15 points apiece. Ogba got another sack. But again, and you've already touched on it, they were bloody awful against the run. I mean, Jonathan Taylor ripped through that line in the third quarter. And then after that, they just kept pounding the ground again. Then you go from that to a stupid neutral zone infraction penalty by Jalen Phillips right in the red zone, led to a touchdown. The touchdown included some bloody awful man-to-man coverage when the Colts ran the option route. It was nowhere near it. So... you know, and when we finally sacked Wentz, it was offset, you know, by another bloody penalty. So it was just, yeah, it was just piss poor. So I'm struggling to really, you know, as much as I'd like to try and find anything apart from the 3 players I mentioned who had reasonable games. Moving on to the Bucks, Well, I mean, you know, we've already touched on it. It was all the hype surrounding the game at Foxborough, and they ground out a win. And that's what good champions do. You know, they went to a tough game where there was a lot of pressure on Brady in particular, on the road in awful conditions, and they toughed it out and got the win. Helped, I've got to admit, by a really weird call from Belichick going for that field goal, which ultimately sort of iced the game. But a few top performances coming out of that game. A guy we've both been keen on, Antoine Winfield in secondary, came good, racked at 21.5 points, although he did limp out of the game, didn't he? So I'm not sure what the... and that's something the Bucks don't need at the moment. Our secondary's a bit banged up. They're really short on sort of quality players in that DB. But Winfield, before he hobbled out, picked up a pick and a forced fumble. I've got him in one of our leagues, so I will have to keep an eye on that. So we'll have to see. Outside of that, Tryon Shoyunka, another linebacker, he can play at DL. He had a great day at the office, racking up 25 points, 2 sacks. He's had a good start to the season. Shaq Barrett, one of my favourite players on the Bucks side, had a decent game. Again, another linebacker that you can slot in at DL on sleeper. He came in with just under 20 points, including a sack, and got to the quarterback a couple of times. The sack and the QB hit numbers are exactly what I'm looking at if you're looking for Bucks players this week against a Dolphins offense, which just can't seem to, you know, it's a bit all over the shop still. We came into the season, we knew the O-line was a bit suspect, and I seem to be repeating myself every week. Again, the reason I'm looking at the linebackers in the DL for the Bucks is, to be fair to Jacoby Brissett, and he will be playing again this week, as I said, I don't think we'll see Tua until the London game. He's far more likely to... The only thing I do like is he'll wrap it up and take the sack rather than try and force the throw. And so, you know...
good for us.
Yeah. But so, yeah, like I said, the problem is that, you know, he did fumble it twice, you know, against the Colts as well. So that's the downside. You know, if you're not going to throw it away or try and force the throw and you take the hit, then, you know, chances are there's a good chance the ball pops out. Yeah, for me, I can't see anything other than the Bucks' home win. I think they, like I said, they've toughed out a difficult game at the Patriots, and I think they've got a Miami offense that's coming to town that really is short on confidence. I think I'll be writing off this weekend and just waiting for Week 6 when Tua's back. Hopefully, we can do something against Jacksonville at London.
So yeah, following suit, obviously Bucks got no choice really in that matter. So where am I? Packers at Bengals. Ooh. Starting with the Bengals. I don't know. I know. I don't know how long that'll be for, because I mean, Murph mentioned it on Monday about the red zone conversion is through the roof at this moment in time for the Bengals. So pretty much every time they get down there, they convert, and they don't get down there very much. So the worry is once they stop those sort of big plays, that's, you know, the Bengals are going to struggle, which eventually teams will stop them. Anyway, but going on back to where we are, starting with the Bengals, Logan Wilson had a great game against the Jags in week 4. He put up 10 tackles, 1 tackle for a loss, and a sack. He is an absolute top player, and he may be a trade target for you. So if you don't have him, he won't be on the wire. Be somebody you could try and get if you can. I mean, maybe as an add-on on an offensive trade, add him on. He's one of those kind of players where, what we were talking about earlier on, about this kind of decent floor. He's decent floor with a high upside, is Logan Wilson, and somebody should be owned. I would expect him next year's drafts. Logan Wilson would be going off at the top of the tree. I think he's going to be into the sort of like Eric Kendricks, Deion Jones sort of like range around that kind of time. Anyway, moving on from Logan. So Jermaine Pratt is a linebacker that could fill a gap. Now, he's the other linebacker of choice at this moment in time, and he will be on the waiver wire. He scored consistently over the last couple of weeks. Up front, Sam Hubbard has been putting up good numbers. He's the Bengals selection for me currently at DL. The other DLs are still doing okay.
Trey Hendrickson had a quieter week this week, so Sam Hubbard gets my pick out of that front line. The Bengals DBs, they're being led by Von Bell, who's scoring consistently, but he's going to be very unlikely he's going to be available. So if you're looking for a pickup in DB, Eli Apple is a good ad at this moment in time. He's got decent tackle numbers, and he's had a pass defended at each of the last 3 weeks. It isn't the best matchup, though, for the Bengals D. As Aaron Rodgers can be difficult to get to at times. So it might not be a great week for the Bengals. The Packers D, Eric Stokes DB, was the big scorer in week 4 with an interception, 2 pass defended and 8 solo tackles. And Rashawn Gary, about time, but he has had a monster week. That will please owners. He got a sack and he got to the QB on multiple occasions. He's a must add and a pickup if still on the wire. This week, must start as well against Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Yeah, the Packers, there's definitely a lack of consistent scoring at this moment in time with who to start and who not to start. So I would avoid the Packers linebacker court at this point in time. I think Chris Barnes got an injury, and I'd concentrate up front and in the secondary because there's points to be had in week 5 for those Packers. I'm gonna go for a Packers win on this. They've hit some good form and looking good. It won't be easy against the Bengals, though. They're also playing quite well, but it's definitely one of the games I'm looking forward to this week. So yeah, Packers win for me. What do you reckon, Bram?
Yeah, I mean, joking about what since he doing at sort of 3-1, I think this is one of those games that's going to be a bit too much of a stretch for him, even at home. Just been having a quick circle around on the waivers, talking about that secondary, in a couple of at least one of our leagues, Eric Stokes is out there, coming off the back of that week. Rashawn Gary, surprisingly, is floating around, although, like we said, maybe not. Again, if you're looking for a might be a bit more of a gamble, to be honest, in that secondary. Darnell Savage, who did have a very good week 3 against, well, a decent week 3 against San Francisco, but
is he questionable? Darnell Savage.
He's not listed as questionable.
He might have finished a while. I just remember seeing him on the floor. must have got back up and been all right. Thank God for that.
So having a kip. But yeah, Packers win. And I think the secondary is a good shout because, I think he'll come under a bit more pressure than he has done the last couple of games.
And so, if that game goes to plan, he'll have to. There'll be a point in that game where he's going to have to because they'll be probably chasing the game. But we'll see. Wait and see.
Okay.
So where are we going?
We're off to the Chargers. So we've got the Browns at the Chargers. I suppose we've got to mention the Browns' sort of week 4 winning against the Vikings again. As we said earlier, we fancy the Vikings going into this one, but and despite another poor showing from Baker Mayfield, the defense after that Jefferson touchdown, they just they did a job on Cousins
really
and that
good.
Offense. They just they couldn't get near him. Miles Garrett was at it again, 21 points. It's a bit of a come down from what did he rack up the week before? 55 points.
Something stupid,
Yeah, obscene. Some of my teams don't score that many. He got to Kirk Cousins on 4 occasions. Malcolm Smith, the veteran linebacker, picked up 15 points. Greedy Williams at corner racked up 17 points, including a pick. I found him on the waivers, and I think he's worth a shout week 5 against his Chargers offense. Denzel Ward, the other corner, was also on the waiver wire. Didn't score quite as highly. So, if you're looking for someone in the secondary, I think Greedy Williams would do a bit worse. The Chargers, I'm struggling to get excited about anyone on this Chargers defense at the moment. Even the two obvious picks, you've got Joey Bosa and Derwin James. Joey Bosa has been below his projected figures so far this season pretty consistently. Derwin James fared a little better, with a half decent showing, 17 points in sort of week 2. Outside out on the waivers, Nasir Adderley, he had some good scores sort of weeks 2 and 3. White at linebacker, you know, had a monster week three versus the Chiefs. But again, I'm looking back, as I have done with some of these teams over the first sort of 4 weeks, and it's like you touched on before, it's trying to find that consistent performance or someone that's trending up. And I just,
I don't see that with this.
Yeah,
we're at that time. We got to start
We do, and we've said this about teams. You know, week one, week two. Look, let's once we get into October, we'll maybe start to see a pattern with some of these defenses, some of the key players. But yeah, there definitely seems to be a lack of consistency. I had high hopes for the Chargers this season. Okay, it's still relatively early days. Yes, they've had a good win against the Chiefs, but I'd like to see before I start, you know, looking to sort of draft in any Chargers defense, I want to see a bit more consistency from them. In terms of the game itself, I think it'll be entertaining. You've got two entertaining offenses. I think they're going to sit down with Baker and try and iron out some of these issues, because there were a lot of high wide passes going on Sunday. And you know, if he'd connected on a couple of those passes, then you know it could have been a worse day for the Vikings than it actually was. I'm going to pick the Browns in this one. I know they're on the road, but I think after, like I said, I like both offenses. I think they're both entertaining, play some fun football. But purely on the strength of that very impressive defensive performance against your boys last weekend, I'm leaning towards the Browns with this one. I don't think the Chargers are anywhere near as strong in the D.
I feel it's a good matchup for, like, when you've got a good solid defense and you've got a very strong run game, it points that way to, you know, you can stifle teams. And that's what happened to Minnesota. We couldn't really stop them. You know, well, even though we kind of did, every time then we got on the field, they stopped us to the point of where it become frustrating and hard work, such hard work. And the Browns are really good at doing that. And at this moment in time, like you said, even with Baker not clicking, they can still do it because they're not reliant on him. They're not reliant on him. And they haven't, they've never been really. So, you know, this is the thing. But when he does click, they go, you know, they could put 40 points on somebody. So, yeah, it's good. And I'm going for the Browns. I'm going for the Browns in this one as well. I quite like the Chargers, like you, but I'm still waiting for them to. They look a little bit boom or bust, saying it, using that thing again. But they do feel that way inclined, other than the Browns, who seem consistently, you know, good defense, yeah, good run
and,
game.
And like I touched on with the Bucks as well, you know, once you start getting into the meat of the season, the teams that are going to push late into the postseason, they'll tough out ugly games. They'll win when, you know, their star QB or you know whatever is you know just having a bad day at the office, and the Browns kind of fall into that category. I don't think they're as good as the Bucks, but I think they're, you know,
I mean, it's amazing really when you look at it. I mean, wide receiver wise, I mean, Beckham's just come back off injury. Landry's still out, or did he come back last? I'm not sure.
No, but I think he's still missing.
He's still missing. So I mean, they haven't got their top, well, or they hadn't had their top two wide receivers consistently.
Yeah, I've listened to a couple of pods since the weekend, and I think Baker's coming in for, you know, a fair bit of criticism that maybe, like you say, you know, they're missing Landry. He hasn't had the options that he would have done. So yeah, okay, his radar seems to have been off the last couple of weeks, but you know, when you've got Chubb and Hunt, you know, hammering the defensive lines, then. Yeah, and then once Landry's back, I'd be worried. So, okay. So
I'm going over now to the Titans at the Jags. Wow, poor performances from both of these. I think I tipped both of them to win in week four.
Sums up our week.
I think I did. Yeah, I did. Well,
did you get any right?
Fucking awful. Absolute shocker when it comes to this. Good job we didn't stick any money on it. But I'm going to go for the Jags in this game. As this Titans offense is alarming, to say the least, what happened against the Jets. I mean, the reliance on Derrick Henry and then the choice not to use him in the red zone in multiple occasions was bizarre. And I just feel that they just look lost. They, you know, without Julio Jones or AJ Brown, they've just not got enough there to beat teams. And
7 sacks, Ryan Tannehill took. But anyway, let's go. I'll go on to that right now. Yeah, I'm actually going to need something more to start. I won't be able to pick the Titans moving forward until I see something more from them rather than just this Derrick Henry way, because teams will just load the box and that's what they're going to do. The Jets did done a job on the Titans, though, and I feel that the Jags, though, could do the same. But the Titans, let's pick a Titans player. Let's go Harold Landry. So Harold Landry, for the Titans, he's a consistent top linebacker and he can be started and played at DL. And he's a week in, week out start for me. He is an exceptional player at this moment. He was all over the field and he has been actually for the last few weeks. Maybe the numbers haven't shown, but he's really started to dominate. He, for me, is a must start. He got to Zach Wilson multiple times in week 4. He finished up with 27.50 points in IDB Plus, which included a sack. Christian Fulton at DB also scored well with an interception and pass defended and could be started against Trevor Lawrence and the Jags. And I'd also start obviously Kevin Byard as well. He's also consistently scoring well. But they wouldn't be going too many other places along that Titans defense. So Landry, Kevin Byard, and Christian Fulton would be the three that I would look to be starting. Going over to the Jags, because of Ryan Tannehill, this Jags DL has got to be seriously in play. I mean, he got sacked. Let's go for it, right? So he's been sacked 17 times this season, 7 of them last week. He's hanging around the pocket like he's waiting for a bus. Yeah, so you're going to have to... I'm looking at some kind of stack here from this Jags defense. I'll be starting, obviously, DL's Josh Allen, Adam Gotsis. I mean, he's in play. Miles Jack at linebacker. Secondary performers, Andrew Wynyard, as we've mentioned a few times, Rashawn Jenkins, Tyson Campbell, and even Shaq Griffin. These are big upside plays. And in this, if Ryan Tannehill does anything like what he did in week 4, there could be some serious points to be had from this Jags team. So it's the Jags for me to win this game. And defensively, there could be some big points in play. What do you reckon, Bram?
I don't know. To be honest, I think I'm starting to really lose interest in the AFC South. I think it's a really, really... It's become like the NFC East. It's just, yeah. One of them's got to go to the postseason, but Jesus Christ, they ain't going to be there very long at this rate. I'm inclined to think, yeah. I mean, just the way this Titans offense is just almost.
They didn't know. They didn't have apart. Honestly, had no clue.
Yeah.
I don't think he had any clue of what was going on. I mean, I know the Jets pass rush is decent. It is decent. We've talked about it a few times, but my God, just throw the ball away, man.
Yeah,
it was elements
like
of that.
You say, and I've just had what you touched. I mean, with the exception of obviously the two obvious players, Josh Allen and Miles Jack, I'm just scooting down the waiver wires. Rashawn Jenkins, Shaq Griffin, Tyson Kapp, they're all out there.
Yeah.
So if you do want to go down the route of taking a punt, even if it's just for the 1 week, because again, I mean, you touched on this a couple of weeks ago. It's, you know, and it kind of ties in with, you know, yeah, setting your roster, setting your floor, but again, coming back to the matchup, and when you've got a quarterback that's being stuffed like that on a regular basis, then yeah, I mean, if they're out there on the waivers and you've got a few players you don't mind dropping off who, you know, haven't performing, because it's, as we touched on, it's getting to that time in the season where, you know, if you're not seeing those players trending up, or if they're flip-flopping week to week and you're not getting consistency, now's the time where you start tinkering a bit and saying, right, that is a good matchup. That O-line and that quarterback are all over the shop. You know, stack him up, get after him. You know, they're playing at home. I think, you know, it's okay. Yep, they're still 0-4, but they've showed signs, you know, that it's coming together. It's going to take time. I suppose, again, if you're going to make a case for, you know, anything on the Titans, hey, it's another rookie quarterback. But it's one of those games where it could be really entertaining, but again, I'm just not sure which way it would go. I'll go with the Jags at home, really. So, okay. Bears at the Raiders. So Bears coming off a week four win at home against the Lions, 24-14. I've already touched on the Lions. I don't want to sort of, you know, rag on them too much, but you know, it was a home win against a real mixed bag from the Lions. You've got Goff throwing for nearly 300 yards. That's the good side. He also got stuffed for four sacks and two fumbles. That's the other side of Goff. So, and the Bears with, you know, Fields are now, you know, they're 2-2, second in the NFC North. And I think that's largely in part to the defense. That man, Roquan Smith, he's at it again. Another 24 points, including the sack. Khalil Mack had another solid game, 15.5 points, including a huge strip sack in the second quarter to turn it over on third down. Quick shout on the on the waiver watch. Alec Ogletree, linebacker, put up 24 points, 12 tackles. Not sure I get to see him getting the same numbers, you know, at the Raiders this week, but he's out there if you are looking for a linebacker who's had a, you know, coming off the back of a decent result. I think the slight problem with trying to find value in the Bears defense is just that it's in, from a fantasy perspective, it's kind of in danger of becoming a bit of a two-man, you know, sort of defense with Smith and Mack. And again, a bit like I touched on with Philly, you know, they're going away to a Raiders team that's playing well. So I'm not sure it's one of those weeks where you want to be gambling on, you know, Bears players you're not 100% on. Flipping over to the Raiders, I'd definitely be looking at the Raiders D in this matchup, I think. A, they're at home and playing well. B, again, they're against a rookie quarterback. Yes, Fields played well last week, but as I've said before, it was against the Lions. Raiders at home are going to be a slightly different proposition. So again, with the rookie QB in mind, I'll be looking at the likes of, you know, your Max Crosby's, your Yannick Ngakoue's in the D-line to try and put a bit of pressure on Fields, you know, getting his grill a bit. I found Ngakoue on the waivers. So the likes of Treon Mullin, Casey Hayward, we've both been trending steadily up across the opening weeks of the season. And I think those two players, Mullin and Hayward, you know, if this D-line can put pressure on Fields, I'd expect them to be sniffing around in the secondary, you know, looking for, you know, Fields to maybe get under pressure and sort of throw a few wobblers. Yet the Bears defense is good. As I said, they've, you know, had a reasonable win over a bang average Lions team. But I think, based on the matchup, I'd be looking at the Raiders, and I think there's some value there. The Bears team is a pain. Like I said, you know, you're not going to find Roquan Smith and Khalil Mack on waivers anywhere. Or if you are,
I don't know what league you're playing if you do.
So yeah, I think the Raiders have got a better, more consistent offense, and I think they'll be looking to bring a bit of pressure against Fields in this Bears offense. Okay.
Yeah. Okie dokie. Yeah, I'm going Raiders on that as well. I'm definitely going Raiders. Just feel that they're a little bit more complete. Like you said, it was a really good matchup for the Bears last week. So I'm not going to take too much interest in that. Broncos versus Steelers. Let's go by this one. So what we've got, both teams lost in week four against strong opponents. And this one's quite difficult to predict. However, what isn't difficult to predict is TJ Watt. Should be more of the same for him. He's still likely to get a sack or two. You're going to have to keep an eye on who the starting QB is going to be, whether it's going to be Bridgewater or not. I'm not sure. We're not sure at this stage, but you know, he sacked Rodgers twice last week and looked good coming back from injury. Devin Bush showed up, which a lot of people have been waiting for that. And he looked decent. So, I mean, he might be somebody to keep an eye on. I doubt, again, he's on waiver wires because he was such a big name. But he might be because he hasn't put up numbers for a long time. So there we go. Let's have a look else we've got. Joe Schobert is also looking consistently good and sort of settled now in his new home. If Drew Locke does start, he come in for Teddy Bridgewater, as I said, due to injury, but it was concussion. So I'm still not sure which way it's going to go. So that's really going to be difficult to gauge. If it is Drew Locke, I would start all the edge rushers from the Steelers anyway. Yeah, from the Broncos side of things, DB Caden Stearns, he had himself a day in week four. He sacked Lamar Jackson twice. And the Broncos really brought the pressure on the Ravens. Unfortunately, it wasn't enough for them. But yeah, the secondary of the Broncos scored really well in week four. And I expect them to score well against Big Ben, who still doesn't look quite right for me. And in week five, yeah, I think there's a big chance for the secondary. So you're Justin Simmons, Kareem Jackson, they're on my radar, along with Patrick Surtain. Yeah, for the actual game itself, if Teddy plays, I think I'm going to go Broncos. If he doesn't, I'm going Steelers. I think it's that important that Teddy Bridgewater plays, just for the consistency. Steelers are not looking right. They're not looking right at all. And I didn't think it didn't look that difficult for the Packers, not really, against them. And I just feel that, the Broncos might have too much defensively, which is weird saying that about the Steelers, but because they're slightly disjointed offensively, I think, I'm going to go Broncos in that one.
Yeah, I think concussions always are, how twitchy the NFL, understandably so, are with these sort of concussions. I would hope Teddy's back, because I think we tipped the Broncos to win last week, and I think they can't really afford, if they're going to push on, they can't really afford a second defeat on the bounce. But the Steelers offense for me is still very suspect, very questionable, on the basis that Teddy's fit. And he's passed, sort of safe to play. I'll go with the Broncos. We've got 49ers at the Cardinals. These two had very different week four divisional matchups. Niners losing against the Seahawks, to go drop to 2-2. Trey Lance really struggled following Jimmy G's injury. He'd already thrown a pick by the time he came off. And the special teams for San Francisco just collapsed, basically, as I touched on before. So, top performers, is there anything to salvage from the IDP fronts? Fred Warner and Nick Bosa picked up their standard sort of 15.5 points each. Both scored exactly the same. Outside of that, on the waiver watch, Edge D. Ford, he was the Niners' top scorer by quite a stretch with 23 points, racking up a couple of sacks and a forced fumble. I've got to be honest, this week going up against the Cards, I'd be playing safe. Play your obvious picks, Warner and Bosa. I don't think as good a game as the likes of D. Ford had. He's against an elusive QB like Kyler, who is having a season so far, only week four, but he's not showing any signs of slowing down just yet. Moving over to the Cards, I think this is about the point now where I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit and go, come on, they're not, they're looking all right now.
Mate, I actually, on the live pod with Murph, that was one of my things where I just said that I'm really sorry. I've got to give up and say, they're playing really well. Well done.
Yeah. Well, as I say, I mean, the Cards, that was a little bit begrudging, but we'll let them off. As I say, they just keep winning. And to go to LA and put 37 points on that Rams defense, Christ, that's a real statement of intent. And they did it without any real standout IDF sort of fantasy performers. That's the weird thing. Simmons, Baker, Jones, all had quiet days. You look at the numbers. It was one of those all-round team, defensive performances. Good for Cards fans, not so good for fantasy owners. However, if you're looking for some waiver value, I'd say it's arguably in this game in the Arizona secondary. Few have found out, they're on the waivers. All in the secondary, Jalen Thompson racked up 15.5 points. Byron Murphy had another 13.5 point game after his monster 29.5 points in week three. I'm surprised Byron Murphy is still floating around on the waivers, if I'm being brutally honest. So I don't see this game going any other way. Cards are at home. Massive win for them against the Rams. If Trey Lance starts for the Niners, you'd have to be looking at, you know, all the big names, and, you know, I'd be sniffing around a few of those DBs on the secondary as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cards win for me. Can't see anything else.
No, I'm with you. After that performance last week. So I'm over to Giants versus Cowboys. Good one, this one. Good wins from both of these sides in week four. However, I expect the Giants to get back to losing ways against these Cowboys in week five. Randy Gregory got to Sam Darnold multiple times in week four, and I expect him to get to Daniel Jones in this one. Gregory is back. He's causing havoc, and for me, he's the must start in DL. He scored 26 points in IDP+. Plus. He got two sacks. Of course, plus he got to the quarterback four times. Micah Parsons also got a sack. And I was really impressed by just the Cowboys overall. I can't go on much further without mentioning the star of the show at this moment in time, and that is the interception leader, Trevon Diggs. Two interceptions last week, which gives him five on the season. And yes, he hasn't. Every game he's had a takeaway. I doubt you're not going to find a waiver wire with Trevon Diggs. Surely not on it, but maybe.
I have. Yeah. He's got a knock. He's got a slight. They're listing him as having a what we got. So back tightness. I can't see that keeping him out.
No. I just feel that he shouldn't be there. The guy's training towards becoming a star, and you know what it's like with the Cowboys anyway. Their star players tend to he just seems to hunt it out at this moment in time. And I thought he was excellent on the weekend. But if he isn't there, another DB, Anthony Brown or Jaron Curse, they're both often they seem to be on most waiver wires. And they've been consistent every week. This secondary from Dallas, they're making teams throw on them. That's what they're doing as well. So they're all massively in play week on week, and especially in this one. I mean, this one is going to be, this is stack central here, if you're looking at it, from one of those DLs and edge rushers and Trevon Diggs or one of those secondary. I'm really not a fan of the matchup for the Giants D at all. As you said about Carolina, they didn't score. Anybody didn't score very well against the Cowboys. And there's a reason for that. And I just don't see the Giants. They didn't play particularly well, even though they won. Defensively, they still didn't play particularly well in stages of the game. And that worries me against Dallas. I'm going Cowboys, and I'm going for some big defensive points in this one for them. So yeah, forget your Giants and go all in on Cowboys defensive players if you can.
Yeah, absolutely. And we mentioned that. I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, if Taysom Hill can drag that many Giants players over the line for a touchdown, God knows what Zeke's going to do to him.
I know.
He's going to rip him a new one. So yeah, I think the Cowboys, they're firing on all cylinders at the moment. I think they'll just offensively. I think they're the pick in the league at the moment.
Yeah.
They're just scoring so freely, and they can do it so many different ways at the moment. Cowboys all day long.
I've got to do the Bills and Chiefs now, haven't I? That's the Sunday late game. And then you're doing the Colts Ravens finish. Yeah. I don't know where we ended up with two in a row, but there we go. Let's just sort my maths out. Bills versus Chiefs.
I'm saying nothing, mate. you divvied the game.
Very rough weekend, mine, to be fair. Anyway, Bills versus Chiefs. It's got to be one of the games of the week. But from a defensive point of view, yeah, maybe not so much, really. The Chiefs DL, Michael Danner had a day on Sunday, week four, sacking Jalen Hurts twice. He racked up 25.5 points in IDP+. Plus. He also scored 18 points against the Chargers in week three. So he's somebody who slipped slightly under the radar, who's somebody to keep an eye on. Mike Hughes in DB, he also had a day against Philly. He scored well. He got 10 tackles in and a forced fumble. Yeah, the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, he's scoring consistently along with Legarius Sneed. So the Chiefs secondary are in play week to week. But yeah, and that it would be the secondary that I'd look, if I've got to start somewhere, it would be the Chiefs secondary. Who would be in play, not their DLs or not even their linebackers. Maybe, yeah, maybe Nick Bolton, who we've mentioned before. But again, it shouldn't be a massive week for them. Flipping it over to the Bills. And this team continues to perform week in, week out really well. It's a 40-point lead, 40-point shutout against the Texans. Really impressive. You can only play with what you've only got to play against what you've got in front of you. So I know people say, oh, it's only against the Texans, but there's a way of doing it. And to completely shut them out, it is impressive. Nice to see Tremaine Edmonds join the party from points-wise. I noticed Matt Milano went off for an injury, which is a bit concerning. At least for me, I've gotten quite a few things. So, also, Jordan Poyer being out, he was replaced by Cam Lewis at DB, and he scored well. Mika Hyde also got another interception. I'll mention here, Bren's man, Boogie Basham. He's made an appearance. He got himself a sack.
Oh, Carlos.
First sack of his career, and he's off and running in the NFL.
You realise on Sleeper they don't even list his first name. It's just it's no Carlos, yeah. Just Boogie Basham.
In his boogie. So in this one, I fancy the Bills. I really do. I mean, people might say this is going to be the making of the Bills from that point of view. I spoke to Murph Bay at the start of the week, and it was talking about who teams have played, and now the Bills are going to play the Chiefs. So now, you know, nobody can turn around if they win. Nobody can turn around and say, well, they haven't had the hardest schedule so far. You go, well, they're doing all right, and they're certainly playing well on both sides of the ball, and they got a run game going as well. So it's all looking good for the Bills, and I'm picking them for this week. What are you going for? What are you going for, Brent?
I'm going to go for the Chiefs at home. I think it's a crucial game for both of them, but I think Kansas will want to make a bit of a statement. Hey, it could go either way. I mean, you've got two offenses. My only concern with the Chiefs is, of the two QBs, Allen's been far and away the most consistent.
I just haven't seen so far from the Chiefs. I just haven't seen enough from them to say that they are a really good side. Just generally, I mean, a lot of the time it feels to me that there's been a lot of penalties being given away opposition-wise, and you know they lost to the Chargers, as we know, which was. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah.
No, I mean, I think purely, as you touched on one of the other games, just, you know, for the sake of coming down on the other side of the fence and playing devil's advocate, call it what you will. I mean, I have, going back to the Chiefs secondary, I've just had a quick shop around on waivers. There are some of those secondary players out there.
Yeah.
Sneed and Sorensen, who both sort of, you know, scored consistently.
For me, it's kind of crazy because the thing is against these kind of top teams, the secondaries are nearly always in play because teams have got to throw on them. You can't just keep running. If you're three scores behind, two, three scores behind, you need touchdowns and touchdowns quick. And the only way to do that is through the air. And that's when, you know, these secondary players are often really in play. And I'm surprised that the amount of the top teams' secondaries are on waiver wires at this moment in time. But hey-ho. All good.
Yeah,
all good for
there
us.
You go. Grab them if you want. They're right there. Right.
Finally.
Let's close this out. Colts at the Ravens. The Monday night game. So, yes, okay, as we've already touched on, you know, we'll start with the Colts. Week 4 win at Miami, 27-17. Blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, okay. Road win to avoid going 0-4, which was crucial to sort of try and keep them alive in the division. As I say, they were helped by a pretty piss poor showing from Miami. However, up against the Ravens, with the exception, arguably, of, well, linebacker sort of Darius Leonard, who I really rate, And he's had his best fantasy week so far, with just over 20 points again against a rather suspect Dolphins offense. The other two usual suspects, DeForest Buckner in the DL and sort of Kenny Moore. Sorry, those three are fairly safe bets. You know, if you need someone in that position, again, I'd still say, you know, going away against Ravens, I think outside of Leonard, I'd probably be sort of swapping out. But and sort of not really. I don't really fancy any waiver gambles with any other Colts players. I've had a look around. No one jumps out for me. And they're on the road to a good 3-1 Ravens team, as I say. You know, I'm not being bitter because they beat us last weekend. Maybe I'm a little bit, but I just think, you know, they're going up against the Ravens, who are, simply put, a much better team at this moment in time than the Dolphins team they went against on Sunday. Moving over to the Ravens. Well, again, it's another one I think I tipped wrong. I didn't expect a week 4 23-7 win at Denver, which included, you know, a second half shutout by this defense. As I've already took, you know, three sacks on Drew Lock after he replaced the concussed Teddy Bridgewater. You know, he'd already thrown a pick as well by that point, Teddy. Top performers, and again, out on the waiver wire, as we touched on, you know, there are some good value players still out there. Linebacker Tyus Bowser racked up 24 points, including two sacks, two tackles for loss. And against this Colts offense that seems to be at the moment leaning very heavily on Jonathan Taylor, still playing with a somewhat banged up Carson Wentz, because they ain't got anything else really, or they don't seem to want to look at other options. I'd be looking at the DL. You know, another couple of players in that D-line that had decent games against Denver. Justin Houston, 13 points. Yeah, he's possibly worth a look. I'd also have a look at old Chuck Clark as well. Going back to value players in the DB, I'm going to highlight Chuck Clark. He's brilliant. Not quite Boogie Basham, but I expect the Colts to be chasing the game sooner rather than later. As we, you know, it ties in nicely with what we touched on just then. So Wentz is going to be forced to air this ball out quite early, I think. I could see the Ravens getting out to a fairly early lead. And the Ravens are still without, you know, looking at our secondary, they're still without Deshaun Elliott. So, you know, that would bring Clark even more into play. In my opinion, he's had a decent first few weeks of the season. So I think this is definitely one of the easier games. You know, we've gone from a really tough game to call. Yeah, Ravens at home. I think the Colts, yeah, again, like the Lions, they're a pretty mediocre side at the moment. I don't see them having enough weapons to do the Ravens too much damage.
Yeah.
So that's your Monday night.
Yeah, man. I'm with you as well. I think the Ravens have got that one in the bag, to be honest. I totally agree. Right, so quickly, just going through, I just got some picks. I've got Quincy Williams, linebacker, New York Jets. I've got Bryce Hall, DB, New York Jets. Harold Landry, DL, Titans. Josh Allen, DL, Jags. Pete Werner, the linebacker from the Saints, to monitor or stash. And just a little outside bet. I just got a feeling that two of the Dallas secondary players will be in the top 10 of this week's scorers. So, right, we will be back next Thursday to get you ready IDP-wise for week 6. I'm off to apologise to some Cardinals fans, see if I can find my wallet, check my lawnmower 4.0 is still charged. Thanks for tuning in, guys, and remember, keep rushing.
See you next week.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.